Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show on this very, very first Tuesday of a new year. A new year. Wow. Well, you know, first fruits are always supposed to be great. So, Terry, I know you have a great topic lined up for us today.
Oh, I do. I do. I definitely do. Well,
I am excited. Happy New Year to you.
And Happy New Year to you, and Happy New Year to your listeners, and Happy New Year to everybody who wants to make this year a new beginning.
You know, it's so awesome because last Tuesday was the last Tuesday of the year. So
yes.
The last, and now the first. And I tell you, it feels good being on the side.
You know it. You know it.
So, yes, to each and every person who is tuned in, we're glad you were able to find us, you know, for a little over 3 years, or close to 3 years probably. We were coming on Monday through Friday. Well, we've had some other changes in the format of the show, but one of them, we started out doing a once-a-week show, and then we got so aggressive, and we went to 5 days a week. But now other things have been added to our schedule, and we had to regroup because we do have other projects, major projects that we're working on. And so we had to divert some of our efforts and energies. But we will be coming on once a week in the morning, and that it will be Tuesday, which is also the day that you're here, Terry.
Oh, great.
And then, yes, at 7 a.m. And then also at Thursday at 9 p.m. So I did post that on Facebook. So listeners, please go to Facebook and look for that. Or you can always look, just follow the show right here. You can tag this page, or you can like this the Coach LaLisa Show page on Blog Talk Radio, and you will be updated with the times. It will let you. It'll send you a reminder, actually. But so I will keep posting that for people to remember. Tuesday morning, and we're trying something brand new to do the Coach LaLisa Show in the evening at 9 p.m. on a Thursday. So there's, so yes, Terry, wow. I know you have an topic for us. As a matter of fact, if I just get over to this page and just want to say Happy New Year's to all of our friends in South Jersey and North Carolina and Tokyo, Japan, Happy New Year's. I know you all started your New Year's a little bit before we did, but happy, happy New Year's to you and Kiva. Minister Pat and so many others that tune in to the show, and all of our new friends. And if it's your very first time tuning in to the show for this new year, new beginnings, well, we certainly welcome you to something new. We know it's going to be fresh. It's going to be awesome. I mean, we're going in this year, going higher in the things that we want to get done, the accomplishments, the achievement. I think everybody senses it. That this year, 2012, this is something about 2012, I guess the number 12, you know, there were 12 disciples, 12 days of Christmas, there's 12 this and that. Number, there's 12 eggs and a, you know, a dozen of eggs. There's 12 months in a year. There's a lot of things that, you know, focus around the number 12, important, significant things. And so I'm sure others can name a few more, but I tell you, this is going to be a banner year for a lot of people. I know, Terry, I don't know about you, but I had a super fantastic year in 2011.
Oh, I did too. I did.
I did some, had some wonderful times, and I am looking forward to 20. Oh, this is a year that we'll elect our reelect President Barack Obama.
Yes, you know that. Yeah, we need that.
This is the year that many people will start their businesses, go back to college, get married, or divorced. You know, everybody's got something.
Well, that's a new beginning as well. You know?
Oh, yes, it is.
I mean, divorce is not always a bad thing now. I understand that.
Hey, I realize that if it wasn't for such thing as divorce, I wouldn't have the wonderful, super awesome husband I have today. So am his second marriage and loving every minute of it. Now, our topic that we've been talking about on Tuesdays is based on the theme that of the book Terry has written, and also he has a movie coming out, Sexy at 60. And again, this topic is getting hotter and hotter, y'all. Terry says, most people, I'm quoting Terry now, most people don't get anywhere in life because they don't know where they want to go. So his topic today is unleash the leader in you. And he says that this will help you to find yourself and lead yourself in 2012. Now join Professor Terry Benjamin and Coach Lisa Williams. Now, what I love about that topic, and you know I'm all over this, Terry.
Yes, I know that.
I'm not going to say much in the show today, but I'm loving it because that is so compatible with the work I'm doing with Release Your Power.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
So this is going to be, I'm ready to take lots of notes. I hope y'all got your pen and pencils and you're ready to unleash the leader. It is in you already. Okay? You're tuned in. He's going to be talking about how to educate yourself. He's also going to be talking about how to make affirmations and not resolutions. Terry, we're looking forward to it. Get it started.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you again. And again, I want to say Happy New Year to you and also all the listeners. And again, just want to start sort of setting the table for this feast, this food for thought that I have prepared that I want to share, but I want to start with a quotation. And it's a quotation from Ryan Tracy, who is really one of the great motivational speakers, but I like to say motivational teacher. And he's up there in the area with Les Brown and Wayne Dyer and Louise Hay and all the people who have definitely had an impact on my life. And if you listen to my Tuesday segment, it's going to have an impact on your life because these are the people that I always talk about, that I always quote. But Brian Tracy says something that I think is really, really key, especially in 2012. And Brian Tracy says, and I quote, "Life is like a combination lock. Your job is to find the right numbers in the right order so you can have anything you want." And we started the program by saying that many people don't get a lot out of life because they don't know what they want in life. And I think that's where we have to start. What do you want? And also, what do you really want? Because a lot of times we limit ourselves because we don't want to share our big, our grand, our magnificent ideas because we're a little shy, we're a little embarrassed because a lot of times we feel if we share them, then we have to be accountable for them. Because one of the things about success is not just talking about it, but be about it. You can talk about all the things that you want, but if you don't make any steps to do that, you're not going to get those things. And sometimes we're shy. But like you said, Lisa, before, everyone has a leader inside themselves, and it's just ready to be unleashed. It's ready to be to come out. And one of the things that I want to start is sort of piggyback what we talked about the last program. We talked about affirmations, and I said that it's really not so much about resolutions, but it's about affirmations. And I'd like to start with an affirmation that I wrote for myself for this coming year. And affirmations are something that we visit time and time and time again. So every morning I look in the mirror, and this is what I say to myself. I say, I will be a better leader in my family, in my classroom, and in my community. I will educate myself to develop my mind, body, and spirit. I will make this 2012 my breakthrough year. I owe it to myself and my family and my community. And this is my affirmation for 2012, and I would suggest that the readers develop an affirmation for themselves, an affirmation that really sort of encapsulates what they want to do, what they want to be about for 2012, because I believe that 2012, there's a lot of things moving in the universe. There's a lot of things moving in the spirit world that are making us or bringing us to where we need to be. When I talk about transformation, and people have to understand this, and this is key. It's so funny because you and I seem to be following each other. When I was at Essex County College, I was teaching there and still there, of course, but they were always invited by the social work department to give a presentation, and my presentation was in transformation. And then you came in a couple of weeks later, you did your presentation. But when I said transformation, I wanted people to understand that when I say transformation is not being somebody else, but transformation is being more of who you are. One of the keys to success, I know my success, your success, anybody who's successful, you find people who are doing the things that you want to do, and you model that person. What I mean is that you see what it took for somebody to have success. For example, Brian Tracy, he's a Canadian, and I followed his career many, many years, and I've seen how he's grown, not just in what he has said, what he writes, but also in his dress and his manner and that kind of thing, because I think that's all part of the same thing. I mean, it's so funny. People say, you know, Terry, you look like a professor. Well, that's only because in my mind I had an idea what a professor looked like, and I tried to play that part and address that part. I mean, when other teachers wear jeans and T-shirts, I'm in suit and tie because I thought that was a more professional manner, demeanor, and also it helps me feel that part. We can't really be successful unless we believe in our hearts and our minds that we can. I say one of the things for 2012 that if you believe it, you'll see it. If you believe that you'll be that successful person, you will be that successful person because, again, there's no other way to do it. Napoleon Hill says, you know, there's a negative and a positive, and a negative and positive cannot exist in the mind at the same time. And a positive thought is 10 times, 20, 30 times more stronger than a negative thought. So if you think positive, that will outroot the negative, and you'll be on the right road. And one of the things that one of my other mentors said, Jack Canfield, he said, and I quote, he said that leaders are readers, okay? And I just want to quote from his book. This is a book that I think we all should really get. It's called Jack Canfield. It's about by Jack Canfield. It's called Success Principles, How to Get from Where You Are to Where You Want, the Success Principles by Jack Canfield. And he says on page 255, he says here, learn more to earn more. He said, people who have more information have tremendous advantage over people who don't. And though you may think it takes years to acquire the knowledge you would need to become super successful, the truth is that simple behaviors such as reading for an hour a day, turning television time into learning time, and attending class and training programs can make it surprisingly easy to increase your knowledge and substantially increase your level of success. Again, readers are leaders. And he quotes here Jim Rohn, and Jim Rohn has passed, but his legacy has been the knowledge that he has given to us. And Jim Rohn, he says here in the book, he says, Jim Rohn, America's foremost motivational philosopher, also suggests you use that one extra hour a day to read. He taught me that if you were to read one book a year, in 10 years you would have read one book a week in 10 years we have read 520 books, and in 20 years, more than 1,000 books, enough to easily put you on top of the 1% of experts in your field. Answer those books for the masters in related areas, and you'll be have an edge that others simply don't have. And again, the rule is 10,000 hours, okay? Putting 10,000 hours to become an expert in your field, 10,000 hours. And this time is really, really pays off, because what happens is that you become not only a person of knowledge, but a person who is teachable, because the more that you read, the more that you learn, the better that you will be. I won't even go to the Bible, because the Bible says be not just hearers of the word, but be doers of the word, which means that it's not enough to hear these good things from myself, from Lisa, from other people we have mentioned that we read, but you have to do something. Because, again, we can hear something and it sounds good and it tickles our ears, but if we don't go out and do something, it's not going to happen. Because one of the things that we have to understand is that faith is, and it's also in the Bible, faith really is manifested by our works, okay? Because it says here that faith without works is dead. And we don't want to be dead, especially not in the new year. We want to really come alive. And I also want to go back to Jack Canfield's book, where he says here, we should commit to lifelong learning, because in a 60 philosophy, one of the biggest things is lifelong learning. And Jack Canfield says here, realize that the amount of knowledge and information available in the world is growing at mind-numbing pace. In fact, it has been said that all human knowledge has doubled in the last 10 years. Don't expect this trend to slow down. More alarming, the information that allows you to be successful, be on the cutting edge of your career and profession, is evolving at the same pace. That's why you must, and I really emphasize this, that you must commit to lifelong self-improvement and learning, improving your mind, increasing your skills, and boosting your ability to assimilate and apply what you learn. And the final analysis, what it's about, Lisa, is really investing in yourself. Because, again, Jim Rohn also says that you should work harder on yourself than you work on any job, because working on a job is really making somebody else rich, but working on yourself is making you rich. And let's understand this. When we talk about riches, I'm not just talking about material riches. I'm talking about true riches, and that's health. That's love, loving relationships. That's purpose. That's finding something that you love doing and that you would do no matter what. As Napoleon Hill says here, wishing will not bring riches, but desiring riches with a state of mind that becomes an obsession, then planning definite ways and means to acquire riches and backing those plans with persistence which does not recognize failure, will bring riches. So here the key is to become obsessed. And really, maybe it would be better to say a habit, because obsession seems to suggest that we are sort of deranged in what we're doing. But let's say habit. And like I said before, one of the tenets of the philosophy of Sexy at 60 is that you develop the habit of literacy, and develop the habit of literacy is that every day, okay, and this is every day. Every day you do some reading, every day you do some writing, talking, listening, and viewing, okay? If you do these things every day, they become a habit. And I believe that success is a matter of habit, like failure is, okay? If you want to be a failure, well, again, you follow the tenets that there's nothing to do. There's nothing to do each day. Each day is boring. Each day is just something to endure, is to get through, because really there's nothing that you really need to do. And one last thing that I like to do, I like to go to a book. And again, you know, I think readers are leaders, but you have to understand, you have to read the right things. Definitely read Success Magazine. It comes out every month. You get on a newsstand. I subscribe to it. So every month I get Success Magazine. It is a great magazine. One of the books for 2012, it's one of the first books I read in the year 2012, is entitled People Follow You. And it's subtitled The Real Secret to What Matters Most in Leadership. And this is by Jeb Blount, J-E-B, first name Blount, B-L-O-U-N-T. And he has this website, which you really want to look at, it's called salesgravy.com. And in his book, he talks about what it means to be a leader. And he talks about investing in yourself. And I just want to share this with you. It says here, invest in yourself. It says here, maintaining a confident and enthusiastic demeanor is difficult in a brutal business environment of the 21st century. Technology and communication have increased the speed of business and leveled the playing field among competitors. The pace of business in today's environment is faster than any other time in human experience, especially true for leaders. The pressure and demand to perform is unrelenting. You must deliver results or else. Today, companies demand more productivity, shorter sales cycles, the high margin for fewer resources. You can't be the hero one day and the goat the next. And this is key. As a leader, you are no longer judged by what you have done in the past, but what you have done today. And so, again, we realize that what we've done in the past is just that, the past. What we do in the future, well, that's not determined, but what we do right now is all that matters and all that counts. And that's what I'm saying. What you decide what you're going to do, don't do it tomorrow. Do it today. Do it right now. And I'm saying that anything that you put your mind to, especially in 2012, will happen. And I want to go to Dennis Kimbrough, who says, it's never too late to start living a new life. You know, again, many ministers and pastors and churches right now, they say simply, if you accept Jesus Christ in your life, if you say accept God in your life, you have already been born again. And again, taking to the secular world, basically, we need to just start all over. And the beautiful thing about it, every day is a new beginning. It's a new start. We don't have to carry the baggage from yesterday to today. We can change our mind. We can change our life. We can change our future. And again, all this means is just a little effort on our part. Because again, as I said before, leaders are readers. And this will end with a little quote here. This is from Joe Clark, former high school principal, and who knows what he's doing now, but I'm sure he is giving out words of wisdom. And Joe says, quote, you've got to give to get. If you don't plan on giving, then you better not plan on getting. And it's so funny because in the book Super Rich, Russell Simmons says the same thing. You have to give, and not think about getting, because the more you give, the more will come back to you in many ways, more ways than you could ever imagine. And that's why I'm making my business to help as many people as I can, because in the final analysis, I know I'm helping myself. The more I help people get what they want, the more that I get what I want. Now, I'm going to take a break here, and I have you maybe respond to some things that I said. And if there's time that we have, I'd like to talk about the six steps toward riches, according to Napoleon Hill. But I'd like to bring you back and just get your response to some of the things that I said, and we can just talk about that. And like I said, and probably in today's program, talking about the six steps toward riches, as told by Napoleon Hill. And the thing about Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich, understand that this book was actually written in the 30s, really during the height of the Depression. And what it says to me is that it doesn't matter how old the book is, if these truths are profound, they are good today as they were yesterday. And I think we really have to hook on to people who are moving in the right direction so we can move along with them and get the success that we are really supposed to get. I mean, there's no secret to success. You have to have the desire, you have to have the plan of action, you have to move along that plan of action until it is done. You have to empower yourself by empowering others and have the faith that you will do what you can do and that what you will do will be enough to make you successful. But like I said, I just want to get some of your feedback and we can move on. Okay?
Okay. Awesome. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I wasn't sure if I was on mute or not. But Terry, I tell you, good stuff. I know so many things come to mind. But one thing that just snapped in my mind really quick, my grandmother used to, she was born in 1906. And my grandmother, and she lived to be 86, so, you know, had her for a lot of years. So my grandmother used to say that pretty is as pretty does. That reminds me, success is as success does. So
yes,
when you were
yes.
talking about doing, you know, even when we talk about resolutions, affirmations, all of these things, they don't matter much if we're not going to do it. The same thing is like what you're saying with, you know, faith without works.
Yes,
or,
yes.
you know, you got to take action. Everybody knows that. You can write the fanciest business plan you want, but that doesn't mean that business is going to grow or be successful if there's no action taken. You want to work with people of action. That's why some people, you may find that you'll get a lot more phone calls to do things on the job, in your community, homes. Why? Because you're the person who takes action. What is it that you're going to do and be about? So wonderful, wonderful stuff. And then I was thinking when you talked about a secret to success, well, I found true that the only real secret to success is that it's not a secret.
You're right.
That I remember being at a conference over in Puerto Rico, and there was a speaker there, and he said something. It was one of the college-bound conferences that we used to have every other year, and he said something. He said that I don't know who he was quoting, but many people say it. But
yeah,
he was the first person I had heard to say this exactly this way. Success leaves clues.
Yes, oh yes, I've heard that many times before.
And so, you know, he didn't coin the phrase, but he certainly used it as if he did. But when he said it, it resonated with me, and I've never, ever forgotten it, so much so that I use it almost daily. That is, there's a clue that people who are successful, that they leave, and you don't even have to know them.
No,
success
you don't.
Automatically leaves a clue. And so what that said to me was that then the non-successful people are truly people who are not looking at the clues.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because we can even say that they are clueless. How about that?
That's it. It's like that little TV show that I would watch with my little, you know, 1-year-old grandson TV. Blues Clues or something like that.
Oh, yeah. My granddaughter loved that, yes.
Yeah. And it's already teaching the children. He understands that clues lead you to stuff. So he knows this from birth almost. Ever since we could sit him up, he's been watching that. His mom, you know, watching that.
But Lisa, just imagine if young people, and this is crucial. That's why people who have children, you owe to yourself to have the kids see you read and see you study. Because just imagine. imagine if a young person could take all the knowledge that you and I are putting together on this radio program, if they can have that at 1, 2, or 3, or when they start reading, if they can have that now, their future would be so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like, I think people have to look at reading as part of your diet, okay? You eat, most people eat 3 meals a day, and some people even more, okay? But if you eat 3 meals a day, also think in terms of nutrition being reading, like reading as a vitamin, and if you read 1 hour a day, okay, just 1 hour. When I'm saying reading 3 or 4 hours, 5 hours, just 1 hour a day. If you read 1 hour a day, would make all the difference. And it's so funny, at least one of the things this Christmas, I told them not to buy me anything, you know, of course, but they brought me an e-reader. And why did they do that? I mean, for me, it's a whole new world of reading. I can go into my Kindle, and I can order books in less than a minute. Less than a minute. I have that book on my Kindle in my hands.
Well, you know what? Funny. It was so funny that I was given that exact same item by my husband.
What? Okay,
and I was, well, it was an e-reader, not the Kindle. I have the Pan Digital. But
which
comes loaded with Barnes & Nobles. And
yeah.
Then, of course, I can do other things. But, wow, you know, he totally blew me away with that one. Because, you know, I was totally.
Yeah, but the technology is here. And that's why I can't understand why people don't read, because it's so easy now. And again, in my whole thing, again, I tell my students, I mean, make it your business, make it your habit to read at least 2 books a week, one fiction book and one nonfiction book. The nonfiction book is to get the facts and the knowledge and the strategies, but the fiction book is for your imagination, because I believe that as leaders, one of the things that we do, we have to imagine our success. We have to see our success. That's why visualization is so important. And people don't understand, I tell you, when women understand that, I think, a lot more than men, because when women go shopping, they go shopping and they see themselves in different outfits and they go in and they try things on. But that's what it's about, is seeing yourself beyond where you're at. I remember I was in New York one day. I was in New York just, walking around, taking care of the business. I walked past this particular store, and I saw the jacket in the window. I said, man, that's a nice jacket. And I was looking at it, and I could see myself wearing it. I said, you know what? I'd like to get that jacket. And so I did my business, and then I came back, and I went back into the store, and I told the guy, I said, I want that jacket that's in the window, you know? And I'm the type of person that if I want something, I don't even think about the cost of it. All I knew is that I wanted that jacket. I'm going to get that jacket, and I'm going to have that jacket in my wardrobe. And that was the key. I mean, I think, again, desire is something that we have to have, because that's what motivates us to get something, you know. But if you don't want anything, you're not going to get anything. But the thing is that have that desire, and don't think about, well, how am I going to do it? And, you know, how am I going to pay for it? Don't worry about it. If you have that desire, and if it's strong enough, you'll get it. Because the whole thing with the e-reader, of course, like you, like other people read. You know, we want to make it more convenient for themselves. A lot of times I have to carry these big bags to schools and whatnot because I don't drive and whatnot. So having this Kindle reader, like I can carry like 100 books in the palm of my hand. How about that?
Wow.
Can't beat that.
Yes.
Can't beat that.
Wonderful. So this, well, you know what, for those individuals who may not like to read, certainly we are glad that we can be that help to someone and encourage them to read, you know. Unfortunately, it can be a real struggle for some people who may not like to and who may not be that good at it, which sometimes when you're not good at something, it will cause a person to shy away from it.
Exactly. Exactly.
So that happened to me for years. I didn't want to struggle with having to get over certain words that I couldn't understand.
Of course.
You know, I was well into my 30s when I realized I was going to read whether I knew any words in the book or not. But that didn't happen. That didn't happen until January 1990 when I enrolled in college. I was faced with the hard truth that if I was going to succeed in college, I had to read because, you know, through high school, that's how I ended up not reading anything and ended up dropping out, because I simply wouldn't read any books where I didn't know the words or it was any kind of a struggle. So that left me beyond, you know, See Dick and Jane Run. I mean, I read a couple of other books. Just so happened, I was drawn to a couple of books by Dr. Wayne Dyer, and I end up reading Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Why did God choose those two books out of all the books in the world that he could have given to me to read as a very young person who didn't like to read? Why those books? I know there'll be more. He'll show me more on that, I'm sure, later. But being that person who did not like to read, and that was one of the main reasons, but my mother was an avid reader. She read every single day of her life. She could read whole novels in a day. I have sisters that are at least one sister that is the exact same way. And you met her. That's my sister, Holly.
I remember meeting her, yeah.
Only
sister. But, I think one of the things that people can do, if they don't like to read, sometimes I know, like, there's different calendars, you know, and each date is maybe something a little read. I mean, one of the books I have in my library is a book by Dennis Kimbrough called Daily Motivation for African American Success. And the way he has it set up is that each day there's something to read. There's a quote from a famous person, then he has a little application, then he has his quote. Like, for example, just at random, May 29th, it says school days, and it says here, the quote is, "Remember, luck is opportunity meeting up with preparation. So you must prepare yourself to be lucky." And this is from Gregory Hines, the late actor and dancer. And that's the quote from a celebrity. And then Dennis Kimbrough on the bottom of the page has his quote, and he says here, "You're not in school for only a few years. You're in school for the rest of your life."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I'm saying, and that's why, you know, when people talk about reading the Bible, and I suggest, you know, not even as a Christian, even as a religious person, I said you should read the Bible at least once a year. I mean, like, I read Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich at least once a year, and now because I'm doing this program with you, I'm reading even more. But my point is that you need to start somewhere, and one of the best books in the Bible, I tell people to read Proverbs, because Proverbs are just short things that you can read and you can talk about it. I think, again, when I have my class, you know, we might start with something from one of our books and just use that to talk about it, because I think one of the best ways to learn is to have a conversation with someone else. I mean, I refer to a thing that I read in the Fortune Cookie. It says here, you know, those who teach learn twice.
That's so good, too, Terry, about the talking, because that was the other key, I think, to my doing well when I did go back to college, was that what I was reading, I would share that with, luckily I had my husband, who was home a lot, share that with him. And I think you're right, that makes a big difference when you can talk it out, even if you're not doing it because you need to study or remember for a test, but... Mm-hmm. I think it helps you with your reading. It gives you a purpose for reading. It's like the Bible. If you are in a church and you don't like to read, but they make you a Sunday school teacher. Or they make you one of the ministers. Or they put you on a rotation and you know you have to preach every fourth Sunday.
Yep,
you are going to be forced to read even if you hate to do it. So, and same thing in school. Some teachers are good at making the students read out loud, and therefore that it's going to force. But when that doesn't happen, when that's absence and people don't like to read, now you have to find other sources. So I'm just very thankful that, you know, you're on here. You know, I don't think it's an accident that such a strong, powerful reader. You are hooked up with me, a person who struggled with that so much. Because my mother used to beat me because I wouldn't read.
I was
a child. Because she loved reading, and she just couldn't understand persons that didn't want to read.
But I think one of the things about reading, and like I said, because I've been a lifelong reader, my whole thing, I trick people in the sense that I'm so excited about reading that they want to read what I read, or they want to share. I mean, my in my first marriage that we raised two daughters and a son, the girls were readers. I mean, there was no problem getting them to read. My son, on the other hand, was not a reader, but he had interest. He had interest in hip-hop music. He had interest in break dancing. And what I would do, I would get magazines for him about break dancing and hip-hop music and culture, and I would get him to read that. I would get films that I would watch with him. I mean, because, again, I mean, when I say reading, I expand it to include poetry. As a matter of fact, listen to music, listen to lyrics, I figure is another form of reading as well, because when I was coming out, they had a song by Smokey Robinson called Shop Around. And the essence of the song was that it was he was singing a song, but it was about a story about a mother talking to her son. And she was saying to her son, you know, just because you become a young man now, there are things that you may not understand. If you're looking for a girl for your hand, make sure that she's the best that you can get. And my mother told me, you better shop around. Now, this was a song that I was singing and dancing to, but the message was so powerful, because I know for myself, when we were growing up, our songs, not so much like songs right now, because a lot of songs now are just hooks and beats, but a lot of songs that we listen to were like philosophy, shop around. That's still key. I mean, don't settle on the first thing. Look around, see what you want. Most marriages don't work out because people don't know exactly what they want. They have an idea. But, you know, we talk about, again, that beauty is only skin deep, you know. And that's another you know, that's another song from back in the day, you know. I mean, the song that you start your programming with, Ain't No Stopping Us Now. I mean, that's a powerful song once you listen to the lyrics, because you know what? It's a powerful song by Teddy Pendergrass when he was in Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, talking about wake up everybody. Wake up everybody who's sleeping in bed. You know, time for thinking backwards, time for thinking ahead. So, you know, again, it's so funny. I talk to kids, especially young guys, about poetry. I said, do you like poetry? He said, no, man, I hate poetry. I said, do you like rap music? Oh, yeah, I love rap music. Hey, listen, man, rap music is poetry. Jay-Z is a poet. Kanye West is a poet. Rakim is a poet. You know, all these guys who are rappers or poets. Do you understand that? Then they said, oh yeah, you know. See, sometimes we say we don't like something, but we don't know. I mean, it's like kids. You know, my little granddaughter, I say, hey, look, you want to have some spinach. I don't like it. Have you ever tasted it? No, I never tasted it. But how you know you don't like it? Why don't you taste it? Now, if you taste it and then you don't like it, that's fine. But at least taste it. Sometimes we're defeated before we even begin, because we shut our minds up. And the thing is about reading, reading opens up your mind to different possibilities, to the point where, I mean, I know for myself, like I said, looking at my background, looking at where I started, there is no way in the world I should be where I'm at. But I'm here because I let my imagination run wild. My imagination is just crazy. And the thing about imagination is that when you write, especially when you write fiction, you write a scene, and if you write that scene well enough, the person who reads that scene can feel that same way that that character feels, and that's a powerful thing. That's very, very powerful, and I've done it many, many times, but I'm still amazed at that. You watch a TV show or a movie, understand somebody thought about that movie, somebody wrote that movie down, somebody gave it to a director, and the director gave it to some actors, and they had cameramen, lighting, they had music, what they put that thing together, and they presented it to you. But it started with a thought. And it started with somebody reading something and sharing with other people. So don't tell me that you don't like reading, because if you don't like reading, then you don't like life. Everything that is in life is the result of somebody putting an idea together and putting an idea down on paper. Wayne Dyer, he's coming out with a book that I'm really excited about. It's a book about manifestation, manifesting what you want. He said everything. The chair you're sitting on is a manifestation of somebody's idea. You know, the chair didn't just, you know, just make itself. Somebody had to put that chair together. Somebody had to put that car together. Somebody had to put that Kindle together. So somebody had to sit down and do this. in the imagination. And the imagination, because of the action and the persistence and hard work, that has become reality for so many people. So don't tell me you don't like reading, because I know that you do, but you may not like the idea that you got to sit down, but like, make it fun. If you want to read, get an audiobook and have somebody read to you, okay? Have somebody read to you. That's why when people are on treadmills or doing their jogging or their walking or whatnot, they have on their headphones, because they can actually read a book when you're doing your commuting back and forth to work. Instead of putting on the radio, put on an audiobook. That would help, I think, you know, to help you get to reading. And it's funny, one last thing about reading, Lisa, I found out when I was a young man that all the pretty girls hung out at the library, you know. And they were not only pretty, but they were smart. And I used to hang around with them, not because I wanted to read books, but I was just hanging out with the pretty girls. And as I was there, I picked up a book, you know, and sometimes at a board, I would tell my students when I was in high school, what changed my life is that I was in high school, I would go to school every day, and I would take my books home, but I would read them, and then I would come and I would sit in the class, and I really thought at one time that white people were smarter than black people. And I thought that because every time the teacher would ask a question, the white kids would answer the question. I said, man, those white kids are really brilliant, man. They're really smart. And I told my friends, man, I don't know what about those white kids, man. They're brilliant. And one day, at least I was sitting home, I guess I was bored, I opened up my book, and I started reading in the book, and I saw that the answers were in the book. I said, wow, what a revelation, you know? And the next day, I was so excited. The next day, I went to school, and I said, man, you know, when the teacher asked a question, I'm going to raise my hand. And he asked a question. I raised my hand, Lisa. He ignored me. I said, oh, wait a minute. Okay, so he asked another question. I raised my hand, and he ignored me again. I said, whoa, wait a minute. I'm going to have to file a discrimination suit here, you know? And he raised, and I raised my hand. He said, I raised both hands. He said, Terry, please, you know, I don't want to, we don't want to waste time when you're trying to be funny. I know you're trying to be a comedian and whatnot. But I said, no, please, let me answer the question. And so he asked the question, and Lisa, I had the right answer. And I was so happy. It's something with having the right answer. I don't care if you're a kid or an adult. You love to have the right answer. Sometimes in my class, the first day of class, I tell my students, I'm going to show you how you're a genius. I put it once, I said, what's your name? And they tell me your name. I said, you're right. What's your middle name? And they tell me, I said, you're right. I said, she's a genius. She's a genius. Because we love to have the right answer. A lot of times we don't say anything in class because we don't know the right answer. I remember when I first started teaching, I asked a student, you know, I said, look, I said, this question is anything that you tell me is right. I said, you know, I asked him a question. He said, well, what is the right answer? I said, your right answer is whatever you tell me. So you had the right answer. You had the right answer inside you. And he just couldn't understand that. I mean, tell me I have something to contribute. Yes, you do. Get your life experience. I tell my students all the time, look, I'm coming here to teach, but I'm also coming here to learn. So whatever you have to tell me is right on the money. You know? It's right on the money because, again, the self-help books, all they tell you is what you already know. They're not telling you anything else. Think and grow rich. Think. Just think. Instead of trying to just be invisible. A lot of people just want to go through life until they encounter death. They don't want to do anything. They don't want to take any chance. They don't want to take any risk. You know, but that's not living life. That's not life. Life is not to be invisible. Life is just to make your mark. You know, and each mark is different. I mean, when we were younger, we want to be like everybody else. You know, remember you go to school, you want to wear the sneakers that everybody else is wearing, the jeans that everybody else is wearing, the jacket that everybody else is wearing. You want to do wear something different. You know, you want to be with the in crowd. And as you get older, you don't even care about that. You know, you just want to be you. And the more that you are you, the more that you are authentic, the better you feel about yourself. And the better you feel about yourself, you draw more people to you because people are drawn to people who are enthusiastic, people are full of life, people who are happy. Because that's the final answer. That's all we want. We just want to be happy.
You know? I know that's right. And we have about... We have about 10 minutes left to the show this morning.
No, I'm not finished.
I know. But the time, you know.
I'm just getting started now.
I know. Somehow we're going to have to move to a two-hour format. But no, because what's going to happen is,
Wow.
Well, I may as well prophesy it right now. What's going to happen is very soon, over the next, I don't know, 30 days, people will be able to tune in every day, Monday through Friday probably, or once a week, however, to the Professor Terry Benjamin Show.
Oh, my goodness. Come on now.
Come
on now.
You get up faithful every Tuesday morning. You see how easy it is. You wouldn't be the first. I've got about 10 people who were guests or just even listeners who now have their very own shows. Right here on Blog.
Amazing.
Radio on the radio dial or internet radio. So many people, because this is like what you said, success leaves clues.
Let me say this one thing to you. Like right now, okay, you are my mentor, okay? It's like I'm like riding a bicycle, okay?
Yeah.
Now I'm on the two-wheeler, but I need you to sort of work with me, you know? Don't let me go right now, okay?
But here's the thing. The people that I've worked with who have their own shows, one lady, it was just a phone call.
Wow.
This is the kind of thing, because a lot of times it could be like, you know, people say, I'm not quite good at it, I don't think I could do it. But it's not the kind of thing, you have to actually do it. You have to just go on and do it, and just really, I don't think, whether it's Steve Harvey, you could be Michael Bazin, I don't think any of those guys knew everything before they got started. It could be Wendy Williams, you could Oprah Winfrey. They got started, and they, I believe, a lot of what they did, they learned as they went.
I agree. But I think, again, what you hit on, and I think if you love what you do, it is not work.
It's not work. And the bloopers are actually fun. Sure, we make mistakes. Sure, I've hung up on it. Sure, I got so started late. Sure, there were things that we thought would ruin our reputation. And then I had to realize. Then I had to realize, what reputation? You don't have a reputation.
Somebody going to write me right now.
Well, the thing is, who they going to write to? They're going to write to the. They're going to write to Blog Talk, Mr. Blog Talk Radio.
Wherever that is.
The show that comes on Tuesday mornings didn't start. You know, so it's not like you're not with NBC. You're not going to. There's no ratings to cut you.
But my whole thing again, you know, really in essence, my whole thing is about sharing. I mean, people are telling me that I'm a good teacher.
You will share.
Being a good teacher, I think I'm a good sharer. I mean,
you are.
If I learn something, I'm sorry, you can't shut me up. I'm gonna tell.
Well, you gotta share. That's why you gotta watch. You'll see, because it's truly an hour. Come on, Terry. Listen. In the hour.
Now, I'm just getting warmed up in the hour now. You understand that, right?
Come on. Hello. That's just your introduction. But you have so much wonderful stuff. And so I can't wait. And I'll be a guest on your show.
Oh, please. You got to be.
I could be your friend. I could see the Professor Terry Benjamin Show. It's really effortless. You don't need any cameras, light. All you need is a phone. That's all you need. You don't even need a computer. These days, and if you have a smartphone, you really don't need a computer. Or you have your e-reader. I'm sure you have a way to access the internet from that.
Oh, no doubt. Oh, of course, yeah. Well, that's one of
you have
jobs,
it. I can show you. It's simple, and I'm telling you, and Professor, all your students. So anyway, but now getting back to you're going to release and unleash this leader, this person. You're going to find out where it is you want to go. People, and that's hard for a lot of people to say what they want. When I talk with women, and I remind them that for women, sometimes it's hard to say what we want in life because we're so used to helping everybody else get what they want.
And sometimes we have nerve to be embarrassed about what we want, you know, because again, I mean, because you say, I mean, a woman wants a good man, and she's afraid to, you know, to look for that
say
because
that.
She's afraid to be disappointed. But you know what? There are good men out here.
And like
but,
I say,
know, you just got to give us a chance, you know?
I said, how many people waiting on Mr. Wright? And so people don't raise their hands. I said, well, what, you waiting on Mr. Wrong? Verbalize what it is that you want. Don't just leave it up for grabs, because you might not like it down.
Yeah, not only that, because sometimes, you know, if you leave it up for grabs, all you get is the leftovers, and who wants leftovers, you know, all the time?
Right. So go on. The universe can handle whatever you tell it. That's what I've learned, Terry.
Yeah, well, because Jack Campbell says one of the reasons that people are not successful because they don't know how to ask. You have to ask. Ask mm-hmm. and you will receive, okay? It says in the Bible. Ask and you receive.
Yes.
But if you don't ask, you know, like my mother says, you know, a closed mouth does not get fed, okay?
Well, my mother used to.
That's some folk wisdom, you know?
My mother used to tell us, if it's not worth asking for it, then it's not worth having.
Ain't that something? Oh, man, I definitely ask. You know, and I know a lot of us, we want things, but, you know, again, we're afraid to ask because we don't want to be disappointed. But you know what? That's the way life is. Life is like a roller coaster.
Say,
it goes up and down, you know?
I was going to say, isn't life full of disappointments? I mean, you know.
And don't we get over it?
Get over that quick.
We don't die because somebody said no.
Well, but see, I hate to keep referring to my mother, but she should have wrote a few books. But that lady said that she used to, that was her favorite, one of her favorite words was, get over it.
Get over it.
I don't use it as much. I think some people think it's too harsh because people don't. I found, Terry, that a lot of people don't want to get over stuff. They want to linger. They want
to
linger their trauma and their drama. They don't want to get over. They, you know, so if you're even a person that is about a get over attitude, they typically won't even contact you or call you up or try to hang around you because they want to linger in their pain, their sorrow, and their hurt. And they know they can't do that with me.
And sometimes
I can't
people
linger.
Identify themselves by their pain and their sorrow. Oh,
yeah.
poor me. You know, it'll never get better for me. And you're
look
right. Happy. Like they said, it's whatever you say, you're right because that's what you want. That's what you have. That's your comfort zone. You know.
They focus on what has happened to them, and
mm-hmm.
they miss their reaction to it. See, that's the part I love. I don't like things that happen to me either. But what I love is looking at my reaction to it.
Yeah. And I believe that everything that happens to you is there's a lesson in everything, even the bad thing. There's a lesson in this. You know?
Yeah. How am I going to react?
Even a health challenge, you know, a health challenge is saying, hey, look, you know, it's time for you to do something a little different. Although it's devastating, but you know what? There's a lesson in it, you know.
And what's your reaction? I love that because I remember when my brother, who was just 1 year older than me, when he was dying of cancer. This man's reaction when he got the notice from the doctor and the doctors began to remove parts of his colon and what have you, man's reaction to that was, I'm going hard after, you know, my faith. And that's what he did. And so he died a very faithful man. I'm telling you, it was it mesmerized many members of our family who was looking for the whole year to see that. And again, some people's reaction is something else. So, but here's the thing, Terry. What I found is that you absolutely 100% get to choose your reaction to what happens to you.
Yes, yes. 100%. You're right.
You get on welfare, you can choose whether you're going to do this or that. Somebody passes away in your life, you choose not only how about mourning, you choose how long it's going to last.
Is that something? Yeah.
Choose that.
Yeah.
That's not forced on you. God does not force you into a nine-month, you know, state of mourning. No, you choose.
Yes. Like you said, that's your choice.
It's your choice.
And I think in the final analysis, success is a choice, okay?
It is. Look at the recession. People, listen. As many people that have lost jobs and lost homes, there have been as many that have gotten jobs and gotten homes.
Yes, amen to that. Amen.
It is
your reaction. You're right, yeah.
Are you going to react to the news, to the report? It's just like what they went in, they saw that some saw giants, the other one says, we can take it.
Yes.
The children of Israel. So it's how we react. And so how we're reacting now is that we're going to react to the message that says we have 3 seconds left to the show.
Yeah, it's a law. The law.
We need to use. You need to be back for part two, like tomorrow and the next day and the next.
Yeah, we're gonna have to because this is a good start here. You know,
this is awesome for the new year. Unleash the leader in you, lifelong learning. Make it happen. Look for the clues of success. Read, talk, listen, write, and what was the other one?
Read, write, talk, listen, and view.
And view. And
yeah,
view.
Watch something that makes some sense, you know?
Exactly. Do those affirmations, and I tell you, before you know it, it'll be next Tuesday, and you'll be back, Terry. You'll be back, and we'll certainly appreciate
it. Part two on this topic, you know, because
you got to do part two.
Good. We will. We'll do that.
Everyone, we thank you for tuning in to the show today. Go tell a friend that you know a place where they can come and they can grow and develop and expand and achieve all that they want to do in their life. And right here on the Coach Lalisa Show with Professor Terry Benjamin. You can also connect with Terry on Facebook, and you can go to his website. He has a publishing company, and so you can new in-house publishing. You can look him. Just Google Terry Benjamin, and you will see all of the powerful work he's doing. You can attend one of his classes and or his seminars, and I'm sure he's going to be doing his book conference this year. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
That's coming up soon. But anyway, everyone, have a powerful, powerful day, and enjoy this. Some of you are going back to work this week, so, you know, welcome back to your jobs. Go in with some force and some authority over your life. Take the reaction. You have an opportunity to choose how you react to every single situation that shows up in your life. React in a positive, forceful, moving forward way, and watch and see if you're not excited about the results. Well, thank you for those in the chat room, for those who come back and listen to the archives. Well, we certainly hope you learned something here today. And Terry, I love being with you. God bless you and your family.
Thank you.
And this new year, say hello to your awesome, awesome wife for me. I know I have physically met her yet, but I look forward to it.
You see me, you see her. You know, she's definitely a reflection.
Wow.
Me, I'm a reflection of her. Okay, I understand that.
I can't wait to meet her. She's got
You will. You will.
Some woman. Say hello to your son when you get a chance to speak with him. I remember
every day I speak to him, yeah.
Wow, that's awesome, Dad. I remember his break dancing coming.
Yes, and he's even better now. You know, he's teaching other people as well. I mean, you know, that's one of the traditions he's followed. He's a teacher. He's a master teacher. What he knows.
Well, but make sure you post some videos of him, or tell me where
I
can.
Definitely will.
Love it. Wonderful. Well, we'll be back tomorrow, same time. Not tomorrow, I'm sorry, next Tuesday. But don't forget.
Next Tuesday, yeah. And that'll be here before
Thursday.
You know anyway.
Yeah, Thursday night we'll be here, and we'll be talking about the road to getting a PhD. So I'm going to be talking for people who are looking to get their PhD. You want to listen to this show before you move forward.
Yeah, that's
a
good show.
Hey, everyone, we'll see you back next time. Don't forget, there ain't no stopping you now. Be blessed.